Hey, it's 1/23, okay.
I'm sorry. Oh, well, I've got $100.
Page 1/23.
By the poor widow's oil and meal, Elijah was sustained. Though small the stock, it lasted well, for God the store maintained. It seemed as if from day to day they were to eat and die. But still, though in a secret way, he sent a fresh supply. Thus to his poor he still will give, just for the present hour. But for tomorrow they must live upon his word and power. No barn or storehouse they possess on which they can depend, yet have no cause to fear distress, for Jesus is their friend. Then let no doubt your mind assail, remember God has said, the cruise and barrel shall not fail, my people shall be fed. And thus, though faint it often seems, he keeps their grace alive, supplied by his refreshing stream, their dying hopes revive.
We got time for one more.
Sure, we'll be.
Anybody else has a selection? Let's turn to hymn number 609, page 247. We're singing. Page 247.
Across.
certainly is good to see each of you this morning. It's good to be back here with Church of Monticello. Thank you for your presence. Privilege to be here this morning. So we do hope that all has been well with you. It's good to see that you each survived on this Hurricane Fran. The wrath of that, realizing that I'm sure it was bad enough here, but a little further east. A lot worse. I'm glad to see that God has spared your lives to just get out. We're thankful to have the privilege to be here this morning. As always, many times I think there's a lot of things in life we take for granted, and many things that thought meant so much to us. It's strange how that our priorities can change in just a moment of time. And certainly, many here who are members of this church and this community that will be here that will not be able to find help, maybe find help with their spouses. And every time that we get a chance to be together, we all count it as a blessing. And I hope that you have. There's many that are sick. Sister Mildred Elliott, her husband is not doing well, and therefore she is with him. And Sister Smith is not here. Her respiratory problem, since you know, emphysema, is her condition. Certainly, we have to remember her in our prayers. Also, Jack Cobb, he's going to be here. He's going to be here today. But, I don't know what his situation will be. Certainly, we mentioned him when we miss him. And it's good to see. All of you, all our visitors, brother, sister, Carter, and family here. I believe this is probably your first time here, isn't it? So we're glad to have them. We want to mention also Sister Joyce back there. She was informed that the doctor has diagnosed her as losing her eyesight. And certainly we want to remember her every time. The sister, she's had a little bit. It seemed like one trial after another. Certainly, of course, I can honestly say that it's by God's grace that you're even here. And I know you say the same. And we're thankful for that. You know, many times, I think the Lord writes her to give more grace. And, you know, a lot of times we don't have grace when we want it. A lot of times, usually grace is available and given and dispatched when we need it. And so I hope that God will remember you as our Lord did. Whatever, you know, we don't know what tomorrow holds for any of us, but we know who holds tomorrow. And that's one thing my grandfather always told me. Every time I was around him, he's gone on in the Lord. He said, I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. And that's, it's strange that sometimes those sayings, whenever my grandfather would come over, it seemed like he had the timing. He just didn't have a whole lot of timing sometimes. he was the kind that if your grass was 3 feet deep, he wanted to come by and see you and sit down and visit a spell. Of course, I was glad he did. But he'd always have some kind of saying for me when we left. And now he's gone. And those sayings. I take all the grass that I can mow by just hearing him say it some more. So that's what I mean. One moment, and your priorities are changed forever. So Sister Joyce, our prayers are with you. They're going to be with you for you. But this morning, I want to stand and sing a song, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. And I trust that while we're there, throne of grace, that you'll remember us. Remember our needs. Remember one another. Pray for one another. Love one another. Not too hard commandments to keep. But Jesus Christ himself told us, he says, as I have loved you, love ye also one another, even as I have loved you. Now that's not that hard to say. Sometimes it's harder to do. But let us take it to heart this morning and pray that the presence of God will be here with us. Hopefully. Bless the service. What should I sing? Do you have one picked out? Page 113.
I'm not ashamed to own my Lord or to defend his cause. Maintain the honor of his word, the glory of his cross. Jesus, my God, I know his name. His name is all my trust. Nor will he put my soul to shame, nor let my hope be lost.
Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, once again we bow unto Thee, bending our knees toward earth, Thy footstool, but yet we trust with our hearts looking up unto Thee. Dear God, we come before Thee this morning with thanksgiving upon our heart. Thank Thee for the blessings of life. Thank Thee, dear God, for the privilege to meet together again as a small handful. We pray and hope for Thy children. Dear God, this morning we bring nothing before Thee, for we know that in our flesh dwelleth no good thing. And dear God, many times this flesh has stood in our way of serving Thee as we ought. Father, we ask this morning that Thou would give us the grace that we might lay every thought and every care aside for a time being, that our mind would be turned toward heavenly things, towards precious thoughts, that we might just for a moment get a glimpse of Thee and Thy glory, that we might see Thee again high and lifted up. And that we might see that the train, Thy train, fill the temple. Oh God, that we might feel our unworthiness before Thee. So many times we realize that because of pride and rebellion that we have failed to do according to Thy word and Thy teaching. And that we have gone, as it were, our own way, much to our shame and sorrow. For we realize in times like those, dear God, that our hearts feel the coldest. And it seems that our walk from Thee is so far away. But God, we thank Thee this morning for the mercy and Thy grace. For with time and time again that Thou hast brought us back unto Thyself. And we felt to be owned as one of Thy children. Father, this sin-polluted tongue cannot express our thanks. Nor can we adequately say what our soul feels inside. We thank Thee, Father, for Thy Spirit that makes intercession for us in groanings which cannot be uttered. Dear Heavenly Father, this morning we ask that Thou would bless each head bowed here. Thou knowest all our needs. Thou knowest even before we ask them. And dear God, Thou hast been gracious and merciful and abundant in all things, that Thou hast blessed us with those things above our necessary needs. I can honestly say, O God, I've had more than I've known what to do with all my days. For I've never known what it felt like to be hungry. I've never known what it felt like to lay down at night and not have a place over my head. And I've never known what it was like to not have clothes upon my back. And yet, dear God, I've taken Thy grace and Thy blessings that Thou hast given me, and I've squandered it many times on the foolish things of this world. Dear Lord, we ask this morning that Thou would be one in our midst, be one in our presence. Help us to love Thee more than we have in the past, and help us to love one another as Thou hast commanded. Let us not love just in word, dear God, but in deed and in truth. Help us to keep Thy commandments and to follow after Thee. Follow Thy greatest blessing of all as Thy darling Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, many times, I should say all my life, I've taken for granted what a privilege it is to know Him, and that He, I feel, has known me despite myself. Dear God, we thank Thee this morning for Him and all that He has done, that He is indeed the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that He does according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand or say unto Him, What doest Thou? Father God, we thank Thee for this meeting house. We thank Thee for this number here. We ask that Thou would remember especially those that could not be here because of sickness and the infirmities of our bodies. We ask a special blessing, dear God, upon Sister Smith and Sister Elliot's husband and Sister Joyce, that Thou, dear God, would draw near unto them, that they might feel Thy presence. Oh God, we realize that there is a day coming. We look for that day when we shall no longer carry around this sinful body of ours, but we shall be changed. We look for that day. Give us the strength to sustain us despite our frailties and our sinfulness. For it's all these blessings we ask in the holy and righteous name of Jesus Christ, our arisen and returning Savior, and amen. Brother, can I borrow your watch? We did not say that. Mine stopped on me twice last night and this morning. I just want to make sure. I told Laura I was going to borrow hers, but I was afraid she'd set it up 15 minutes on me. I told y'all that little story. I believe her. Preacher, little boy went to a preacher. Well, I went to his friend in the church, and the boy said, he said, you just follow me. He said, I don't know what to do here. I said, what should I do? He said, you just follow me. He said, I'll tell you everything you need to know. They sat down and they sang some songs, and then they stood up for another introductory hymn. He says, come sing that. I said, what does that mean? He said, that's just an introductory hymn. So they sang a hymn and sat down. About that time, they said, let's bow our heads in prayer. He said, what's that? He said, that's the introductory prayer. So bow your heads. The preacher got through, he stood up and took his watch off. He says, what does that mean? He says, not one thing. So certainly, we don't want that to be the case this morning. I want to read to you a portion of Scripture. Hit on parts of it. Some of you may have been at sermons where I tried to touch on this. In my mind, this is about as scattered as it could possibly be, so I definitely pray. doctor. The flowers are beautiful. Thank you. The Apostle Paul writing here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And he says this here, talking about the gospel. I hope you're speaking a bit on the subject of the gospel this morning, and what it is, and what it ought to be. And for us, I hope to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. I may ask some questions of you that only you and God Himself will know. But by asking these questions, I hope to bring to mind, maybe, of the importance of the gospel. What is it? Now, everybody that knows Old Baptist knows good and well that we don't believe that the gospel saves you for heaven. There isn't but one Savior. There isn't but one name under heaven by which man must be saved, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a saving in the gospel. There is a saving in obedience. There is a saving in doing as God has commanded us to do in His Word. You say, well, explain that. I can explain it best by an example. God, Jesus Christ, whenever He was getting ready to ascend back to heaven, I think I spoke on this last weekend, last third Sunday of Ebony. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore into all nations, teaching them. He told them to go teaching them, make disciples out of them, and then the commandment was to baptize them. That's the commandment. If my dad told me, he told me one time, I've told Taylor this story. He told me one time at a fire department, he worked as a fireman for Mr. Sullivan. He told me one time to stop. Well, I won't go into that story. That's too long. He told me not to play in a fire one time on a campfire. They were burning some stuff, and I was, as a child, it was just like a magnet. You know, outside, there was a fire, and, you know, marshmallows are being roasted or whatever, and, you know, it wasn't enough for me to roast a marshmallow. I was throwing things in it and sparking it, and he told me to stop. Well, I didn't stop. I disobeyed. I kept doing it. He said, son, stop playing in the fire. I didn't do it. I kept messing with the fire. Finally, he said this. This got the point across. Son, when we get home, you're getting a spanking. Now, my dad was not one to forget that he had promised me a spanking. But as long as he was willing to forget, I was willing to forget. And you know, when I got home, that was a long trip home. Always was. Whenever Dad had promised me a spanking when I got home, that was a longest trip home. I didn't want to be around him. I didn't want to see him. I wanted to get home. If I could have slid under the door and gotten my pajamas as I went through the door and gotten to bed, that would have been fine. Well, I did. Somehow or another, I got home, got ready for bed, and he didn't say a word. About 2 months later, we were getting ready to do something, getting ready to have a big time, a big day. He said, didn't I promise you a spanking about 2 months ago? Well, you know what? He ruined that entire day. Because I said, yes, sir, you sure did. He said, when I get home, remind me. Yes, sir. We got home, I didn't remind him. He didn't remind me. I wasn't crazy. That's what I thought as a child. I'm going to remind my dad to spank me. About 6 months went by, and we were going to a trip to the mountains, getting ready to have a fun day. On the way to the mountains, he said, didn't I promise you a spanking about 6 months ago? I said, yes, sir. You sure did. And the Blue Ridge Parkway has never been ugly in my life. The point was, I never got that spanking physically, but I got that spanking 3 or 4 times. Cost me 3 or 4 good days. And by disobeying the gospel, Some say, oh, I believe you can come. I can come and enjoy the preaching just as much. And I can contribute all my earthly possessions to the church and to the people. I can have them into my home. I love them. And I enjoy it. And I can get just as much out of it. But I'm going to tell you right now, my friends, no only person that has ever said that is one who's never joined. The only people that can say that is those that have not been obedient. The commandment was, the Lord commanded them to make disciples out of them, to teach them, and then baptize them. Peter, whenever he went down to Cornelius' house, the commandment was, Cornelius told Peter, said, I'm here and my household with me to hear the things that God hath commanded for thee to tell us. I'm paraphrasing that. But the point was that there were some things that God had commanded Peter to do. And Cornelius said, I was there to hear the commandment. I wanted to hear the commandments of God. I want to do and be obedient. And when Peter had finished preaching there, guess what? It said that Peter commanded them to be baptized, and they were baptized. And they rejoiced. There is a blessing and a saving from a guilty conscience in obedience. There's a saving, my friends, in baptism. Old Baptists say, oh, we don't believe baptism saves you. No, baptism will not put you in heaven. But what it will do is give you an answer of a clear conscience towards God. You go over here to Peter's writing. He says this here. He says, which sometime were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. I want you to know something. The flood is what destroyed the entire earth. The earth was destroyed by water. But do you realize that here it says that Noah and his family were saved by water? It didn't say they were saved from water. They were saved by water. What were they saved from? They were saved from an ungodly and wicked world. The light figure. Here he's showing you something here. He's going to show you a light figure. The light figure, whereunto even baptism doth now also save us. Noah and his family weren't taken into heaven. As a matter of fact, you'll find where Noah, soon after he had landed on the mount, you'll find where he got drunk and planted a vineyard. And it was just one botch, just a reminder of our human nature, one right after another. Now, if there was ever a time for a man to make a good decision, it looks like Noah should have been able to do it. The only ones on that mount were he and his three sons and their wives and his wife. And yet here's Noah planting a vineyard. That's not harmless. I mean, it's harmless enough. Then he gets drunk. And then one of his sons by the name of Ham goes in unto him while he's asleep. And I'm not going into that. That's another whole sermon. But Noah realizes what was done unto him. And he places a curse on and make a curse stick. If you wanted to make a curse hurt in that time, you didn't usually hit the firstborn. You normally hit the last one. You hit the baby of the family, the one that was a little closer to the heart, the last one to leave the home. And what's what he did? And that's not saying, I know I got Luke and Jed here, and I don't go home, guys, fighting over one, and you know, who's the closest to mom and dad's heart? I don't want that. It's not a matter of that. This here was biblical times, and the curse was on Ham. But he didn't curse Ham. He cursed his youngest, Canaan. Curse went out on him. But anyway, if it was a time for a man to make a good decision, you talk about a free moral agent. He didn't have TV blaring over here. He didn't have advertising over here. He didn't have a lot of influence from the world. It wasn't anybody but him and his family. And yet you find him, Noah planting a vineyard, and he gets drunk, and then his son goes in unto him and does something. And next thing you know, they come out of there, and there's a curse placed on the descendants of Ham. But there was a saving in this. It says, we're like figures, even now, baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God. There's what obedience will get you. If I had done what my dad had told me to do, we'd have never had to go through that scenario of by the fire. If I'd have done it the first time. If I'd done it the second time, I still wouldn't have had to go through that scenario. But guess what? I disobeyed him, and for about 3 or 4 days there, I did not want to see my dad. You know why? Because I knew I had willfully and openly disobeyed him. Not only did I disobey him with a fire, but I disobeyed him a couple more times when he told me to remind him. He was the last man I wanted to see. When do you think I really want to see God? Do you think it's whenever I'm walking the furthest away from him? Do you think I'm really that anxious to see him? Or do you think it's whenever I'm down reading and praying? And when I've done what I know he's commanded me to do, I welcome and I enjoy his presence with me. Those are my friends that say that, oh, I can get just as much out of it as anybody else. I'm not saying you won't get anything out of it. I never will say that. But I'm saying one thing for sure. If God has commanded his children to be baptized, and you cannot find me a place in God's Word where it was like a delayed reaction. You know, Brother Raven Lord, I had the opportunity to be with him last weekend. He said there was a member there at his church that had been going to that, or not a member, been going to that church, been there every time the doors opened, anytime there was work to be done on the church, they were there. They supported them with their financial means. They had people. They fed the people of God. They loved the Lord. They loved his people. Had been doing that for 42 years. And guess what? Still haven't joined. You say, oh, I can get this. No, not by God's word. The only people that have ever said that are those who haven't joined. Because you ask me, do you enjoy it more now than you did before you joined? I most certainly do. And anybody I know of that has joined can honestly say the same. I don't know of anybody. You know, there may be somebody somewhere, but I don't know. I don't know. But I wasn't even going to talk on that. But there is a saving in the gospel, in obedience, gospel obedience. But I don't want to talk more on that. I want to leave the gospel obedience portion of it and hopefully look at it as a standpoint of what a treasure it is. What does it mean to us this morning? You realize this morning that you are some of the most blessed people of all the ages of history? Do you realize that the prophets and those who came before the Lord Jesus Christ were constantly looking for him to come? You've heard the old expression, hindsight is 20/20. Do you realize that spiritually speaking, that hearing the gospel preached and the things of the gospel, to hear that preached and to believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, you realize that physically speaking, you have what I would call a 20/20 vision as opposed to those who lived in the Old Testament? Many of the people that died in the Old Testament looked for the things, that see the things, and long for the things that you and I are now privileged to see, and to believe, and to hear. The Apostle Paul writes over here in the Hebrew letter, and he talks about those that were had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. They looked for the things that you and I now see. The Lord Jesus Christ, remember one time whenever they said that Abraham saw my day and was glad in it. What was he talking about? When did Abraham see the Lord's day? You want me to tell you how he saw him? He didn't see him about what we and you and I know about him now, how that the angelic host was dispatched from heaven and said, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And from that time on, seeing the Lord Savior Jesus Christ living here some 33 and a half years, they never saw his baptism that you and I are now blessed to see and to be a partaker of. They didn't see any of that. They didn't see the Lord hanging upon the cross. They saw it all in types and in shadows. How did he see Abraham's day, and how was he glad of it? Whenever he saw Abraham's day, how did Abraham see his day? Was whenever he laid his son Isaac on that altar and was commanded to give up his only begotten son. He saw him there and he took him there. And remembered, he said, the Lord himself shall prepare himself a sacrifice. And there he took him up and laid him on there and tied him to that altar and took that knife to raise it against his own son. And the angel of the Lord said, Abraham, stay thine hand. And whenever he saw him there, Abraham had more, he had committed to take the life of his son, and the Lord saw that Abraham was a faithful servant. Guess what, my friends? He saw a picture and type of the Lord Jesus Christ there, because there that boy was as good as dead, but yet he was released and raised from the dead. That's when Abraham saw his day. Not only that, he saw the ram that was provided over there in the thicket, caught by the horns of his head. That was the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that the Lord himself had prepared for himself, who was entangled in the thicket of our sins by his own horns. That's how he saw his day. Now you see how hard that would be to see? It's a whole lot easier to see it from where we're looking. We're looking back at 2020 vision. Now Abraham was looking by faith into the future. That's a whole lot more blessed. How about the lambs, my friends, year after year that was slain there in that service? Every year, whenever they had the feast of unleavened bread and then ate the Passover, that lamb was taken, and they would drive a stake down, or put it on a stake like this, and then one across the shoulders. You ought to be able to see a cross right there. And there was a lamb that was roasted over an open fire. That was pointing to the Lamb of God that would come into this world, who would be and more or less, you talk about the heat or the roasting. What is that symbolic of? It's symbolic of the judgment of Almighty God upon that lamb. That's what it was pointing to. Type and shadows is all they saw. And you and I this morning, many times, and the gospel is being preached, and it's been preached, and you're living on this side of it. And the things that you have been blessed to see, there's been a multitude that have died off and never saw the things that you've been blessed to see. You go over here to Peter's writings. Listen to what the Apostle Peter writes. Now, I'm going to have to read a little more here. He says here, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. You're talking about eternal salvation? Let's go on and read. He says, of which salvations the prophets have inquired. You mean the prophets didn't have salvation? They most certainly did as far as eternal salvation. He's talking about another salvation right now. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. You realize that you see some things and you've been blessed to hear the gospel proclaimed. You may not have heard it here. I'm not saying that. Well, I will say that. If I'm trying to preach out of God's word and I've tried to lay it out, and I would never want to do anything to mishandle it or to misrepresent the word of God. And my friends, let God be the judge. But you have been blessed to hear some things that angels have desired to look into. You know what? You know the angels will never sing us the song of redemption. You know why? They weren't redeemed. Who was redeemed? It was Adam's fallen race. It was God's children, not the angels. It was God's children. The elect family of God, they were the ones redeemed. You've been able to see things that the angels have desired to look into. What's it worth to us? What is that worth to us? whenever you had those who looked for the promises of God, who went about in sheep's skins, who dwelt in the caves and the mountains, who were sown asunder, were tempted and tried on every hand, were beaten for the things that they believed. You go read our history. You go get some history on the old Baptists and trace them. They've not always been called old Baptists. They've gone by other names. You'll find names like the Anabaptists. Why they call us Anabaptists? Because we would not accept another order's baptism. The Catholic Church wreaked havoc. And I don't mind saying that. History will prove me out. The Catholic Church wreaked havoc because we would not accept their baptism. And as a result of that, they sown the saints of God asunder. They burned them at the stake for believing the things you and I now believe. And those saints of God that looked for these precious promises were treated worse than animals. And you and I, you know, we come into this meeting house here. It's got cushioned seats. It's got an air conditioner that'll cut on. If it gets too cold, we'll cut the heat on. And the field is not even full. The Apostle Paul writes here the Corinthian letter. Second Corinthians chapter 4. He says, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness," listen who's doing this here. You've heard me say before that the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made even both of them. This is what Paul says here. He says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. You realize there's two times that I can recall reading about that. In the very first book of the Bible, in Genesis, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. You can't comprehend that. I cannot either. In other words, there was light out of something that there was no source except it was Him. Light out of darkness. Normally we shine light in the darkness. But God commanded light to shine out of darkness. The statement in the Bible is the very first one. In the beginning, God. He's the beginning of all things. All spiritual things, all physical things. Without Him, there is nothing. There is no life, there is no source of life without God. There is nothing outside of Him. He is the beginning of all things. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Here it says, God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined into our hearts. What did He give us in that shining? He shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Do you realize that you have more light? You have more light than all the saints of all the ages before the Lord Jesus Christ had? You're looking at it, certainly not with a perfect vision. None of us have seen the Lord. We're going to live by faith. And there is a blessing. Remember when the Lord told Thomas, He says, you know, "Blessed are ye because, Thomas, you believe because ye have seen. But blessed are they who believe and have not seen." We've not seen the Lord Jesus Christ physically. So our even our vision is not 20/20, but it's a whole lot better than it used to be. What I want to get to is the treasure that we have. Listen to what Paul says here about this. This knowledge that you have of the truth. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. that the excellency of the power may be of God, and not of us. We have this pleasure, no confession. Now Paul is right here talking about preaching. He's referred to real preachers. He's talking about they didn't put on a vain show. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, that shine in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. A lot of times we want to place a lot of stock in these the bug up here, and I hurt you. And I'm fixing it right in my face for it. And I do that. We want to put a lot of stock in men. Or a man. It's not the man, my friends. It never has been the messenger. It's the message. That's what means the most. That's the treasure that you and I have. It's the message. It ain't the messenger. A lot of times I see up there in Richmond, right here, they have this big crusade up there this week, and a well-known TV evangelist who does all kinds of healing and whatever. And whatever. All I can say is it's not the messenger, it's the message that ought to mean the most to God's people. It ain't showtime up here. I hope that whenever you get here, you know what you're going to see when you get here. It ain't a lot. But my friends, what's most important is the message, the treasure. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. It's not a man-made thing. I don't want to speak of nothing else. I'm like Paul. I am determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You know that this type of earthen vessel, all that is an old vessel made out of clay. You realize that that's all each of us are? We're just vessels of clay. This body right here, one day, if the Lord tarries in His coming, it's going to go to its final resting place. And it too shall return back to the dust from which it was taken. It's just an earthen vessel. It's something that's fragile. It's something that's breakable. It's something that you don't put a lot of confidence in. A lot of earthen vessels, you'll put water in them and they'll leak. But God, what a magnificent thing to have the knowledge that you've been blessed to have and the truth that you've been blessed to be a partaker of, and it's just in an earthen vessel. Think about that for a minute. The things that God has revealed to you, things that angels desire to look into, and yet it's just in your old earthen vessel, in my old earthen vessel. You know there's types of that all throughout God's Word. I go over here to Genesis, and you'll find one time. You know, I preached on Joseph and his brethren. You know how his brothers sold him into bondage down there in Egypt. Joseph down there, and finally he come to a position of power. And you know how that there was a famine in the land, and he sent his, Jacob, sent his sons down in there into Egypt to buy grain. And everybody knows how they put their money back in that sack. They put that money back in the sack. Because they could not buy it. They couldn't buy the things that sustain you. You realize in God's kingdom, all the money that you've got is not going to buy the things that's going to sustain you. So listen to this servant, this Egyptian servant of Joseph told them. You know, they came back, and they came back that second time and said, we've had the money here. You know, the money, we've returned the money. Listen to what this servant said here. And the servant said, yes, and other money we have, this is the brothers talking, and other money we have brought in our hands to buy food. We cannot tell who put our money in our sack. And he said, peace be to you. Fear not, your God and the God of your father hath given you treasure in your sacks. See, in one place it's an earthen vessel. Here it's just an old sack. Think about those old sacks, Brother Phil, with old tobacco and that burlap, those big old burlap sacks, old cabbage sacks. That's what I think of when I think about what they went down there and came back with that corn and the things that sustained their souls. yet the God of your fathers, has put the treasure in your sacks. You can't buy it. What a treasure. And many times we've squandered our treasure. We've squandered it on things of no avail. We treated it like it was something other than a treasure. And I think the reason we see a lot of problems that we see around this country is because this country was founded upon this and the truth of it. And we've treated it as if though it were no longer a treasure to us. We've taken it and trampled it underfoot. You remember that Ethiopian eunuch? He was a keeper of the queen of Egypt, not Egypt, Ethiopia. Her name was Candace. He was a keeper of her treasures. He went down into that desert, and it said that he came back from Jerusalem worshiping. It said he was worshiping and he was reading. And he was reading what we would call the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. And the Spirit of the Lord called Philip and told him to go and join himself in that chair. And he heard where he was reading from. And Philip joined himself in that chair. And he said at that point there, he began to preach on the name of Jesus. I like what Raven Lord said last week. He said, I don't believe that was some sermonette either. I believe that was a good, long sermon. He preached unto him Jesus. And I believe he started out when he came into the world, how it was prophesied of him that one by the name of a virgin would conceive a child and bring forth a child, and this was him. I believe he started there, and he went through his ministry. He said, well, how do you know that? Because whenever they came to certain water, that Ethiopian eunuch said, see, here is the water, what the hell will be baptized? This Ethiopian eunuch, keeper of the queen's treasure, was able to know something about baptism. He said, what depended me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. He said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And that confession there, Philip took him down into that desert, down into that water. He said, they both went in the water. There was enough water for both of them to get in it. And after he was baptized, that keeper of the queen's treasure, it said that he left there rejoicing. I say this. I say he left there his own treasure. And he was rejoicing. He was blessed to see Jesus. He was blessed to understand. God opened it up and allowed him to see. God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, and shine in our hearts to give him light. Knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He says, Philip went to him, he said, understandest what thou readest. He said, how can I except some man guide me? See, that man wasn't going to give him life. He already had life. All he needed was some guidance. And that's what the gospel did for this man. He said, he left out of that desert. When he came up out of that water, he left there rejoicing. He was went down in there as a keeper of the queen's treasure. He left there. But guess what? It was an earthen vessel. It was an earthen vessel. You know, most earthen vessels, most earthen vessels that are pretty water, I guess, liquid worthy. But most of these things, as far as the earthen vessels, most of them will leak. Most of them have, will run out. And you know, our vessel has to be replenished. Day by day. You know, David said, my cup runneth over. My cup runneth over. David had a small cup, and he referred to it as the blessings of God as it continually ran over. Did you realize? I believe there's some old Baptists that come with a 55-gallon drum. But they'll get it one time, and they won't come back for another year. They're barrel Baptists. They're not cup Baptists. I like to see those cup Baptists. Those that have the shallow cup. One that's constantly looking at the people. That Ethiopian eunuch went on his way rejoicing. Joseph and his brothers. brothers had the treasures in the sacks. You know, Jacob, this is scattered, I know. Jacob is strange. You know how he deceived his father? You know how he deceived his father with the goat skin on his hands to get Esau's blessing? Lied to his father? He was one that was lied to. We realized that later on his own sons lied to him and told him that an animal had got Joseph. Not only that, they told him the truth, that Joseph is yet alive, and he was the last to believe. But realize this, how did Joseph let him know that he was still alive? He sent the wagon when he was down there to him. My friends, God, our Father, has sent the wagon loads. He has sent the treasure. And the message is this. He is still alive. And alive forevermore. That ought to be our treasure. Sometimes we talk about election and it sounds like it's so far away. I'll close with this first scripture right here. The Apostle Paul says this. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. My friend, that's treasure. My question is, how are you going to spend it? Are you going to spend it like the prodigal son who wanted his inheritance early? Go out and spend it in the world? Are you going to be a good keeper of that treasure? I believe that Ethiopian eunuch knew how to keep this treasure because who they used to keeping things. Well, God bless you, keep it, as I pray. And I hope that whenever you leave here today, I know I've done a poor job of it, but my friends, what we've been blessed to see is far better than anything that the saints of the ages before our Lord Jesus Christ was ever able to see and look into. How it ought to be treasure for us.
Elder Hoover,
yes.
Make sure that everybody is welcome to eat.
Okay.
I'm sure we'll have enough. If we don't, we'll just split what we have. But I'm sure we got enough.
All right. You heard the invitation there, the meal. Certainly, we hope to have dinner on the grounds. Certainly, we do have a close communion as far as members are concerned, but we invite anybody who wants to come to stay and watch. More than welcome to do that. Glad to have you. And certainly, I hope you can kind of attention. I hope you trust the Lord and continue to remember each of you. And I hope that you continue to remember me. Again, it's good to see each of you. Preaching the way will come back. And certainly, it's been a wonderful day. We want to stand and sing a song and sing it like a fellowship. And we won't dismiss the service because we carry the service on in our community. But we will stand right here in fellowship with the folks that are open for the reception of members. But if you want to be here like a home of this church, then you have the right person to sign for you while we're here on the grounds. So, I wish I would see that. How about through the fountain filled with blood? That's really nice.
37.
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners' blood beneath that blood lose all their guilty. The dying thick rejoice to see that fountain in his name. Oh, may I there, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Wash all my sins away. Wash all my sins away. Oh, may I there, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Dear die.